Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. We take an expansive view of Christian persecution in terms of considering the conflict in the Middle East. We're speaking with my friend Andrea Pachotti-Bear about a Christian border town in Lebanon. It's unfortunately caught in the crossfire of the Islamic and Israeli conflict. Sometimes small things do in fact vividly illustrate and reveal larger truths. This is a particular town called Ramesh. It's a small town in southern Lebanon. It's close to the Israeli border. It's very unique because it has a population of about 99% Maronite Catholics, which is kind of ridiculous to think about, or at least surprising to think about, because it's one of a handful of Christian villages in a region that's actually dominated by a majority Shiite Muslim population. This is in the south of Lebanon, as I mentioned. This poor town is under the crossfires of this recent conflict, especially since Hezbollah has been seeking to establish rocket launching bases in this town. And so Christians are suffering as a result because Israel is rightly responding to the threat. And so many of them are being displaced from their home. And so we ought to be aware of this. And remember, the most powerful thing we can do for our fellow brothers and sisters, and even those who don't share faith in Jesus Christ, is to pray. Please, I urge you, let's get down on our knees in prayer. Let's pick up arms of the rosary and pray for our brothers and sisters. We move on from there to speak with my friend Steve Ray about an upcoming trip that Ave Maria Radio is doing with Corporate Travel Services, the 2026 Good News Cruise that many of you undoubtedly have attended. This cruise seeks to rejuvenate marriage and family life, and Steve Ray will be on the 2026 cruise. He will talk to us about some surprise guests and a lot of things that can be expected. He also briefly brings up a lot of the other trips that Ave Maria Radio does with Corporate Travel Services. The truth is, Corporate Travel Services has done much to revitalize the faith life of innumerable people across the world. And so we want to urge you to take a look at this trip. You can find more information on avemariaradio.net and click on the travel tab. And then finally, we speak with Darren Geist about man's search for marriage as the pursuit of structure and order. All of this after the headlines.
Thank you, Marcus, and good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, November 13th. It's the feast of St. Francis Xavier Cabrini. And today's news is brought to you by Ave Maria University. Your vocation location is at avemaria.edu. NBC News is projecting the Republicans will keep control of the House. Republicans keep the House very narrowly with a small majority. The win gives President-elect Trump an easier path to enact his policies now that the Senate is also under GOP control. The GOP won the needed 218 seats to keep control on Wednesday. South Dakota's John Thune is now leading Senate Republicans. Thune and Texas's John Cornyn faced off in a secret vote after Florida's Rick Scott was eliminated in the first round ballot for Senate Majority Leader. Thune will replace Kentucky's Mitch McConnell, who is stepping aside as Republican leader. Special Counsel Jack Smith is leaving before President-elect Trump assumes the office. That's according to multiple reports. Smith is planning to resign as his office is looking at what's the best path to wind down its two federal criminal cases against Trump because of the Justice Department's rule that a sitting president cannot be charged with a crime. On the campaign trail, the president-elect said he would fire Smith right away if he was reelected. And there are three new inductees into the National Toy Hall of Fame. Toys to be enshrined this year include My Little Pony, the Phase 10 card game, and Transformers. Located in Rochester, New York, the Toy Hall of Fame seeks to recognize toys that have inspired creative play and sustained popularity over time. Among the other finalists this year were Apples to Apples, Hess Toy Trucks, and the Trampoline. From the AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Dan McGraw.
Good afternoon. Welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. My guest, Andrea Pachotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News, and she's also the director of the Conscience Project. You can follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, thank you for joining us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Marcus. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, joy as always. Let's talk about what's going on in Lebanon. A Christian border town in Lebanon is in the crosshairs, yet again, actually.
No, you're absolutely right, Marcus. And this is something that's kind of come to light both in our Catholic newspapers as well as kind of the more mainstream secular press talking about the plight of Christians in Lebanon in the fight, especially when Israel is bombarding Lebanon, attacking Hezbollah responding to Hezbollah's attack on Israel, and the Christian communities navigating, being between those two, fighting and still resolute in their commitment to stay in and protect their land, their culture, their country, and also be welcoming to people who are fleeing danger, which has been a very big hallmark of Christians in Lebanon for years.
And we need to also highlight the fact that typically a lot of people don't know this, but what's happening in Lebanon too is that in March of this year, locals found that Hezbollah militants were actually trying to set up rocket launches throughout the town. And naturally, this incurred Israeli response in the interest of protecting their own safety. So these particular towns that, you know, they're made up of Maronite Catholics amongst the other Christian populations. These are regions otherwise dominated by Shiite Muslim majority in Lebanon South. And so there is quite a lot of vitriol against Israel, but there's a Christian populace there that unfortunately is innocent and caught in the crossfire.
Well, it's very interesting. I asked a friend of mine, a Lebanese living in America for a while, just to give me a bit of the lay of the land, what's going on, because Lebanon in the region is very well regarded for its protection for religious freedom, right? It's one of the more successful pluralistic societies in the region. And he said, you know, if you ask five Lebanese for their opinions on the situation in Lebanon, you're going to get five different answers.
Right.
And what really is going on is, again, like you mentioned, Christians do make a sizable percentage of the Lebanese population, about 30%. In fact, the president of Lebanon must be a Maronite Christian. But at the same time, there are presence of different faith traditions in the political power of the country, some of which are, as we've identified here in the United States, terrorist organizations like Hezbollah. And so there is a vulnerability of these predominantly Christian towns, especially along the border, the southern border, that kind of abuts up to Israel and makes them vulnerable. And the reports that we're hearing, you know, obviously there are going to be people who are going to kind of go along to get along. Some who are going to stand up for Christian principles of justice, truth, and charity towards their neighbors, to the vulnerable, to those that are fleeing danger. So it's not entirely clear cut what's going on, but it's definitely something that should inspire people of faith, Catholics in particular, to up our game in praying for stability in the region, and particularly for the Christian community, who has a level of vulnerability because of where they are strategically located, but also because they have a history that's been recognized for being welcoming and bringing people in when they are fleeing.
That's right.
And so that really is something that I think should be a source of pride for us as people of faith, but also really encourage us to join in prayer for their well-being and for the resolution of these conflicts as soon as possible.
As you mentioned, this being an Islamic-Jewish conflict, it is unfortunate that, in this case, the Maronite Christians who make up... So there's this particular town, right, Ramesh, that you and I are particularly concerned about. It's made up of 99% Maronite Catholics. And they've actually done a really good job of preventing themselves from becoming a combat zone, staying as neutral as possible. So when Hezbollah tried to insert themselves into the township and design missile launching pads and rocket launches, it was by force. It wasn't because the people of the town were themselves trying to have stake in the conflict.
No, I think you're right. And that's also, you know, again, the importance of their connection with the country, that their presence, their very presence, mm-hmm. brings greater stability to Lebanon. Mm-hmm. And we've seen that also in the Holy Land, right? And I can't help but believe that that's one of those after effects of the fact that Christ walked in many of these places. Yeah. You know, when we read about Tyre and Sidon, those are current places in Lebanon. You know, those are cities currently located in Lebanon. That's where our Lord was. And so the presence of Christians is really the existing modern day presence of Christ in a land that is fraught with so much turmoil and so much violence and division. Their very presence may be, I think, I would pray, the solution to this conflict. The other thing that I wanted to mention, Marcus, and I was praying on this in preparation for our conversation, is, you know, just recently we heard that President-elect Trump is considering nominating as Secretary of State Marco Rubio, the Florida senator. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, this is a very important aspect for this conversation, mm-hmm. in part because Senator Rubio has been on foreign services committees. He right. is a very staunch defender of international religious freedom, was very key in issues related to the conflict in the Near East, mm-hmm. in the Holy Land, in addressing vulnerable, persecuted populations in Iraq and in Syria. And so I really think that there's a lot of optimism in bringing someone with the expertise, kind of just like the street cred, with his other lawmakers into that kind of important position. We saw it before with Mike Pompeo, with Ambassador for International Religious Freedom, Sam mm-hmm. Brownback. People really do respect Senator Rubio, and I think that there is a lot to be said with what he could bring to the position, and that base of knowledge and that fountain of respect that he has could really be key in moving forward, protecting all persecuted peoples, but particularly persecuted Christians in these places of great conflict.
Yep. And you and I spoke about this just last week, about how a good foreign policy would, and we know that President-elect Trump's foreign policy has to do with peace through strength, a proper proportionate show of force for the sake of maintaining global peace. And the potential election of Marco Rubio as Secretary of State is going to greater bolster that kind of conversation and directionality, and putting a cease, literally a ceasefire, a cessation to the conflicts that we're seeing in the Middle East.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I really do feel like there's a deep bench of people that can be brought in with this new administration, mm-hmm. To help, hopefully, people that were in the first administration working on these issues, on conflict resolution, on religious freedom, especially in places where religion itself seems to be causing a lot of the violence that is going on, especially in the Near East, in places in the conflicts with Israel. I do think that you're absolutely right that strength isn't just a strength of physical violence or the threat of violence, but there's a strength behind truth, mm-hmm. right? And the truth of that when people are free to live out their faith and to pursue the truth, there's stability that comes in their wake. And so hopefully that we can find more peace and resolution in that area. You know, obviously as Catholics, we know where and in whom the truth is and lies. But we want to make sure that people can come to that understanding of the truth freely and not under threat, or in the case of the Maronite Catholics, threat of having to leave their own land.
Yeah. Absolutely. So we double down in prayer, hope, and we try to participate where we can. Thank you for joining us, Andrea.
Thanks, Marcus.
My guest, Andrea Picciotti-Bear, legal analyst for EWTN News, director of the Conscience Project. You can follow her work at conscience-project.org. We've been talking about how Christians in southern Lebanon are in the crosshairs of the conflict. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Hello, I'm Marian Kuharski, the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're non-political and totally educational. We don't scream or scold. Instead, we help people working through unplanned pregnancies know their options, and we rely on people like you to help with our mission. Check us out on Facebook, YouTube, or at ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org.
Pro-Life Across America, the billboard people.
Miss the beginning? Can't catch the end? Or you want to hear it again? All Ave Maria Radio programs can be heard at AveMariaRadio.net or on the Ave Maria Radio app. Then share it with your friends to help spread the Catholic faith. That's AveMariaRadio.net.
CMF Curo is a Catholic healthcare ministry providing families nationwide with a better solution centered around whole health, spirit, mind, and body. Our members share their medical burdens within a faith-filled community. At CMF Curo, our members have access to a spiritual director, concierge services, and other health and spiritual resources. Find out if CMF Curo is a better solution for your family. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is sponsored by Workforce Pay Hub, providing payroll, time tracking, HR management, and benefits administration, all with a dedicated customer-centric service team. More information can be found at workforcepayhub.com.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. Ave Maria Radio is blessed to be able to partner with certain mission partners who join with us in this work of the evangelization for the salvation of souls. And one of our partners is Corporate Travel Services. And every year they put on the Good News Cruise that many of you have undoubtedly been a part of. We are taking bookings for the 2026 Good News Cruise, and joining me to talk about it is my friend Steve Ray, who, amongst a million other things, is a prolific author, evangelist, and pilgrimage leader. Steve, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Well, I'm so happy to be with you again, Marcus. I'm always a pleasure to hear. I love your accent, by the way. And it's a pleasure to be with you. I just got back from visiting some of our grandkids in South Carolina. I flew in and I came right straight here to my office to talk to you. And I'm anxious and excited to talk about the Good News Cruise. And I also would like to mention some other corporate travel trips that we're doing together. And we got four or five of them coming up. So we got a lot to talk about in the next 10 minutes or so.
Absolutely. So I guess the first question is, do you ever sleep?
I do. And I try to, as I get older, I'm 70 years old this year. So I need more sleep now than I used to. But yes, I do sleep once in a while, but I work in my sleep as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the Good News Cruise, Steve, because just for everyone who's listening, about three quarters of the ship is already booked up. This is for 2026, not 2025. That one's already sold out. And three quarters of the ship is booked up. So what else do we know about the trip?
Well, one thing is, I was on the trip in, I think it was 2024, and I gave talks about men, marriage, sex, and heaven. It was very well-received talk, and it was fun. But the difference was that there was a lot of other people on the cruise as well, and some of them were unsavory. I mean, you know, they weren't like us. They had other agendas and a lot of stuff going on. But this trip, this is the most amazing one, because I remember talking to John Hale, who's the president of Corporate Travel, and we talked about setting aside a ship just for us. I remember when he got the idea, and I encouraged him to have nobody else on the ship. It's just a ship full of enthusiastic Catholics. And I'll tell you, that was it's going to make a huge difference.
Yep.
And so this, the 2025 is already sold out. That's next year. And that one is going to be good. But 2026 is going to be the whole Holland America ship is going to be just all of us excited, enthusiastic, wild-eyed Catholics. I'll put it that way. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to it. My wife and I are going to be there, and a lot of our best friends. Yeah, you know, one of the funny things, Marcus, is that a lot of my best friends, I never meet them except at conferences and on things, events like this. So we're going to get to meet Father John Ricardo. We've known him for a long, long time. Mm-hmm. And Harold Deacon Burke Sivers. Yep. And Teresa Tamio. We're going to be doing, by the way, in April, we're doing a Saints and Shrines of Italy cruise with, not a cruise, but a pilgrimage all through Italy for the Jubilee year with Teresa and Dominic. And that's also with corporate travel.
Right.
But Matthew Bunsen from EWTN is a good friend of mine. Dr. Ray Guarendi is a good friend of mine. In fact, sometimes people call me Dr. Ray. They get them mixed up. I said, well, you just promoted me to being a doctor. That's great. I love it. Father Joe Krupp, he's a lot of fun. He is just, you know, priests that are good Orthodox faithful priests are great, but ones that are also a lot of fun and people persons, those are great. Now, Dr. Liz Lev, she is always our guide when we take our groups to Rome. She'll mm-hmm. be our guide in April when we do the Saints and Shrines of Italy. And we've been friends with Liz Lev for, she's always our guide. I won't go to Italy without her. And she's an art historian and she's fantastic Catholic. And we've been friends with her for 20 years. And a lot of other folks that we're just excited to be with. And the fun thing is that when you walk up and down the corridors, you get on the elevators, you know, there are all these Catholics just like us. Right. And we're going to be talking about things that matter most, like Al Cresta used to say, my best friend, things that matter most. That's what we're going to be talking about.
Yep.
And there's no way you can come off that ship not being a changed person.
Yep, absolutely. And in fact, that's the common testimony that we receive, that everyone who goes on the Good News Cruise winds up encountering life-changing transformations, especially with regard to their marriage and family life.
Yep. And, you know, there's a lot of stops along the way, Cozumel and Fort Lauderdale and Miami. But, you know, that's not what I would go for. Most people don't care about that. They want the ship is absolutely gorgeous and it's going to be just full of fun and with wonderful people. And I'm going to be giving my talk again, I think, on men, marriage, sex, and heaven. And the last time I gave that on the cruise, I had so many people come up and said, that was a game changer for me. That talk that you gave changed the way I look at sex and marriage and life. And husbands and wives came up, and it was really a wonderful time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a great time giving that talk, and it seemed like it affected a lot of people. You know, Marcus, but also with corporate travel in April, we have a trip going with them too. It's our Footprints of God trip. But mm-hmm. I have worked with corporate travel for over 20 years. By the way, next year is our 20th anniversary of leading pilgrimages, and I've done all of them with corporate travel. John
wow.
Hale is remarkable. And it's a Catholic company, and I give all of my pilgrimages exclusively to corporate travel. So in April, we're going to Poland, and we have scheduled, our group is going to have the Divine Mercy Mass on Divine Mercy Sunday at the Divine Mercy Chapel with Maria Faustina Sisters.
Oh,
that
wow.
is an unprecedented thing. We're going to be there in front of the bones, the body of Maria Faustina, celebrating the Divine Mercy. On one side is the relics of John Paul II, and there's the body of Maria Faustina. We're going to have Mass there for the Divine Mercy. In May, we're doing the Saints and Shrines of Italy. We're starting in Milan, and we're going to hit all of the major saints and shrines all the way down, and then the highlights of Rome. And guess who's our guide? Elizabeth Lev. Liz Lev is our guide when we go there. And then we're having our 20th anniversary. We're setting this up with corporate travel as well. And that is going to be the Danube River cruise. It's a celebration of our 20th anniversary. That also is a ship just, we've reserved the whole ship just for us. And we only have 26 cabins left. That thing filled up so fast. And we're going to be going through 5 countries in Europe through the Saints and Shrines. The whole Danube River cruise with the beautiful Saints and Shrines. Yes, 5 countries. And it's our own ship that we have with 2 of our favorite priests. And in the fall, we're going to be doing the Saints and Shrines of France and D-Day. And we're going back to Israel next year, too. We've got 4 trips planned going back to the Holy Land. Now that things, it's going to be calming down, and we're going to be going back to Israel. So corporate travel is a very busy company right mm-hmm. now, and they're Catholics. And this cruise, the Good News Cruise, and all the stuff they're doing with me with the Footprints of God pilgrimages, it's just so exciting because the Catholic Church is, I think, in many ways having a renaissance right now mm-hmm. because you didn't find things like this 20 years ago. When I became a Catholic 30 years ago, you wouldn't have found a cruise like this. Now there's this almost an embarrassment of riches. There's all this wonderful stuff going on. And, you know, the COVID thing kept people locked up for 2 years. And now Catholics are just busting out at the seams. They want to go out and they want to be together. They want to go on a cruise like this and be with all with Father Mike Schmitz and Matt Maher. And, you know, there's a special guest coming. And this is really exciting. They just secured Andrea Bocelli.
Mm.
Anybody who can sing like that, and he's going to be on that ship singing for us. And people pay a lot of money to go to places to hear him. Come on this cruise because you're going to hear him right there, and you probably even get to meet him. Andrea Bocelli with that beautiful voice, singing probably the Ave Maria and all these other Catholic classics. So it's really going to be a great time. This trip and the ones that we're doing together with corporate travel to Poland and Italy and the Danube River cruise and France and Italy. It's really exciting times to be a Catholic, Marcus.
Yep, looking forward to it. And you can find out about all of this on the AveMariaRadio.net webpage, and you click the travel tab. Steve, thank you so much for joining us and sharing all of this with us.
Well, thank you. Thanks for what you're doing, Marcus.
No problem. God bless you, brother. My guest, Steve Ray, pilgrimage leader, prolific author and speaker, and he'll be on the 2026 Good News Cruise. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Support for this Ave Maria radio program comes in part by the non-for-profit St. Anthony Services. Are you shopping for mortgage products, Catholic investing, Catholic health, real estate, or estate planning? StAnthonyServices.org can help you find a Catholic professional for these needs. They regularly connect faithful citizens with faith-based professionals that share our Christian values. More information at StAnthonyServices.org or 877-LIFE-US1.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu. When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
I've seen the difference in my son since he's been at Ave Maria. He's happy, he's excited about what he's going to do with his degree, and he's living his faith.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
When Jesus disappeared into the clouds, leaving his apostles behind, where did he go? According to the Catholic Catechism, he went to heaven to take his place at the right hand of the Father. Just as he descended from heaven at the moment of the Incarnation, at the Ascension, he returned to the Father, something only he, the God-man, the Son of the Father, could do. Thus, the Incarnation and the Ascension are inextricably linked. Only the one who came from the Father can return to the Father, the Catechism tells us, further stating that the Ascension of the Lord introduces the irreversible entry of his humanity into divine glory, where he will be seated from this time forward at God's right hand. Left to our own devices, we mortals cannot achieve access to heaven. We are totally dependent on the merits gained for us by the one who went before us. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
She was a mystic and reformer who died at the age of 33.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Catherine of Siena accomplished something no one thought possible. She convinced Pope Gregory XI to return to Rome after the popes had lived in France for almost the whole of the 14th century. They've been there ever since.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. A recent American Enterprise Institute study indicates that for the first time on record, more young men than young women are attending church, and the difference, while unprecedented, is small. 34% of Gen Z men are religiously unaffiliated as opposed to 40% of Gen Z women. This turn towards church may be unexpected, but it's actually rooted in the most natural drive of all, a desire for marriage and the family. Joining me to have this conversation is Darren Geist, visiting lecturer at Princeton University and a practicing attorney. Happily married father of four children. Darren, thank you for joining us. How are you?
Very good. Thank you very much for having me on.
No problem at all. So I'm glad that there is a shift in the demographic and a return to the appreciation of the traditional norms and structure of marriage and the family. For a while there, we were seeing that more young women than young men were involved in some religious affiliation, but the trend seems to be switching.
Yeah, I think that's right, and I think it's a very good sign. I mean, a lot of the commentators, it's interesting when you read them and listen to them, sort of see this as worrisome, right? Men are returning to church, this is going to be a return of patriarchy, it's going to have greater divisions between men and women, all things that you might look as bad things. But I think it's actually an optimistic sign that it's men are returning to the basic human goods that the church and churches have always offered. And it's actually going to be very good in terms of the relationship between men and women and just society in general.
And this turn of men toward the church, it's also because of this great breakdown that men are seeing in society. This next generation seems to be noticing the great dissolution of all those structures that brought about flourishing, and they're looking for structure, they're looking for order. In essence, they're looking for those very things that the male nature thrives in.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely right. I mean, with the Zoomers, you know, with Gen Z, it's interesting because they've been raised, like millennial, like myself and others, we were raised where there was the traditional norms, and then there was a rebellion against them, right? There was something appealing about saying, we're going to challenge those values, break free from them. The Zoomers, they get to be raised where the orthodoxy now is that marriage doesn't really have value, that you can divorce at will,
right,
that it can be between a man and a man or a woman and a woman, but children don't really matter when it comes to marriage. All these things, they're raised with this new orthodoxy, and I think when they see that, it's actually left them without meaning, without purpose, without value,
right,
or to borrow from St. Aquinas, that there's this restlessness in their life. They're saying, well, okay, well, how do I find the basic human goods that have provided meaning throughout all of human history? And the natural thing is to say, well, it's actually in marriage.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually in having children. And the place, and it's interesting here in particular, because a lot of those commentators that are really appealing to young men, and I think also young women, think of like Jordan Peterson, Joe Rogan, they're advocating for this. They're saying, no, if you want meaning, you want purpose, you need to have responsibility. And the area where you get most responsibility, the for most of it, is through marriage,
right?
Through having kids. And so you want meaning? Take responsibility, have a family, have kids. And the only place you're really, other place, I guess, you're really hearing that argument, the main place that's still advocating for that, is in church.
Right.
Right.
And
so I think this is drawing people back to church in a very important way.
You know, you highlight a really crucial point, which is in the face of an entirely hedonistic modern culture, this postmodernism, autonomous individual liberalism, where my body, my choice, my truth is my truth, and it's all about my self-actualization. And in the face of all of this, we're seeing that Gen Z is realizing that none of these things fulfill that interior need for purpose. And like you mentioned, the church has been saying this all along, but this return to traditional structures means that they are recognizing in order to make life work with purpose and meaning, they have to enter into a marriage and knowing that selflessness is the prerequisite for a successful, meaningful marriage.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I completely agree. And I think that an emphasis on selflessness is so important. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, right now, really the ideology is one that is so self-centered. And, you know, again, like Jordan Peterson always reminds us that the definition of anxiety is to be obsessed with ourselves.
Right.
And that's really what we're teaching everyone, is like, just think of yourself, obsess over your identity. Which category do you fall into? The way we find meaning is to say, no, look at this other person that I love fully and completely, and that I'm willing to sacrifice all my welfare and all my happiness and all my goodness for it. And that's actually how you find happiness.
Oh, go ahead, please.
Yeah, go on. Now, I was going to say, and that is really what that marriage as an institution, why God granted it to us. It is to learn how to love in that complete self-giving manner, right? And even, you know, priests, of course, you know, they are engaged in a form of marriage to the altar, to God. They are experiencing that divine self-sacrificial love on earth. For most of us, we're not called to that. We are called to learn how to engage in that self-sacrificial love through being a husband, right? To do that with your wife, to being a father, to doing that with your children. And that is the true path to meaning and the true path to happiness.
And what you're highlighting here, even as you're talking, right, you're appealing to a definition of happiness that far predates the modern non-metaphysical notion, which is that happiness isn't about this interior sense of pleasure, but it's about possessing a good, possessing a perfect good, especially a good that's higher than ourselves. So the happy man, in this case for the young man returning to church, it's not about the man who has all these avenues of pleasure, but he has found a good worth sacrificing for. So the happy man is, in a sense, laboring, he's sweating, he's working, he's sacrificing, but he's doing this because he knows interiorly this thing that he has leaves him interiorly fulfilled, that there's a true happiness there.
Yeah, absolutely, and I would add two points to that. One, just as happiness has a much deeper meaning when you really go back to that tradition, another term that really has been ripped of meaning is love.
Right.
So we think of love as just like an emotion, it's a feeling. It's
right.
So love is willing the good of the other, to refer to St. Thomas Aquinas. And it's deep. It's an understanding of the truth. It's understanding of goodness. And then desiring that, willing that, fighting that for someone else. And the other point I think that is very important that you mentioned there is about laboring. With like my kids, like I have two sons. And I think that is true of my daughters as well, but just focusing on my son, they want to work.
Right.
Work is good. They want to participate. They want to help. They want to be part of the family. This idea of saying that it's something you have to labor at, that is not depriving it of its meaning. That is not meaning it's going to give you less fulfillment. It's actually what gives you fulfillment.
That's
right. Work and strive on something and to see how that makes you grow as a person. It is in that process that we actually get fulfillment and we get human flourishing.
Right.
And that really has been stripped away in our society.
Right.
And thinking that this is a commodity you can buy, right? These various dopamine hits. It's like, no, it's something you're meant to work at to become a better person so that you can love better. And that great testing ground for that God has given us is the institution of marriage.
And I mean, Darren, you highlight a few more core realities here, but one of the things I want to draw out is that even now what you're talking about is that entry into marriage and even a recommitment to God and to church means that I'm drawing out of myself. So I'm not seeing myself and my interior self as the solution to my source of meaning and happiness. Instead, I'm finding my meaning in making myself a gift of service to the good of the other and the common good. Ultimately, marriage is what's going to rebuild society.
Yeah, I mean, marriage is both the foundation of society, and now that it's being lost and so denigrated, it is the thing that we need to rebuild in order to rebuild society. It's the fundamental area where we train people to be responsible, self-giving, self-sacrificial, moral individuals that we need in our society. And that's where, you know, when the people sort of are worried about men being back in church, they're missing the point. It's like church, and I think the Catholic Church in particular, but even our Protestant brothers, you know, brother churches, is they are the places where you learn precisely those values of respect for each other, respect for your spouse, respect for people, that has really sustained our society for a very long time. And as we see the influence of churches and the influence of those values decrease, we're really seeing that breakdown in society. So I really think, like, the best thing that can happen for, like, the relationship between men and women is actually them going to church and learning the values about the dignity of man and woman, the things that we really stood by for so long.
Right. Well, we are continuing this conversation with Darren Geist, visiting lecturer at Princeton University and a practicing attorney. And we are talking about the next generation of men and how they're clamoring for meaning that's greater than themselves. They're finding it in faith and in marriage and in the church. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Did you know my mom's gonna have a baby? We heard the heartbeat and my dad said this is gonna be someone very special.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We hope you'll consider supporting the work of Pro-Life Across America. Your gift will help offer life-saving alternatives to those in need. Visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org or like us on Facebook.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
When your children consider going to college, where are you going to find a place that will prepare them for the future and build on the foundation that you've laid? The answer? Ave Maria University. With an authentically Catholic curriculum, including 35 majors, AMU prepares students to take on the world.
My daughter told me she was published in a scientific journal as an undergrad. I'm so proud of her. The world needs Catholic physicists, and my daughter's going to be one of them.
Learn more at avemaria.edu. That's avemaria.edu.
Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo.
We're living in such a divisive country right now. So much cancelization on social media, so many attacks, so much vitriol. Not to mention, people may be concerned for their own safety because it's been shown over and over again that people do not want to hear a different opinion, and some can get violent with it. So they're scared. Results from every generation reveal a double-digit gap between what people are willing to say publicly and what they think privately. So while about 1 in 4 Americans say they trust the media, only about 1 in 14 truly trust the news they're being fed. It looks like a lot of people are in line with those of us who also distrust the media, and more than we even realize, according to this latest report.
Catholic Connections, Teresa Tomeo. Weekdays, 9 a.m. Eastern, on EWTN Radio.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Let us strive to know the Lord. Quick question to you and me right now. Is that what you and I are doing every single day? When you and I wake up every day, do we strive to know Jesus or not? In the Old Testament, in the same book of Hosea, a little bit later on, it's in chapter 14, the Lord says through the prophet, "My people perish." Or in another translation, "My people are being destroyed because of a lack of knowledge." Not a lack of data. We got tons of data. Not a lack of information. We got a lot of information. Not just about things that are happening in the world. We got a lot of data, a lot of knowledge, a lot of information about God. But not a lot of intimacy with God. Not a lot of relationship with God. Not a lot of friendship. That's the cry of God's heart. God wants to give himself to us in the incredible gift of friendship, and we're not taking advantage of it.
Good afternoon, welcome back. I'm Marcus Peter. My guest, Darren Geist, visiting lecturer at Princeton University and practicing attorney. So Darren, we were talking earlier about how it really is in these traditional structures that we can find meaning that's greater than ourselves. And this next generation is finding it in marriage and in the church. And one of the reasons why is because there's a tried and tested reality. It's tested and true. And everything that modernism claimed to offer, claimed to promise, it has failed to deliver. The great notion of the liberation of women from the shackles of marriage has only resulted in skyrocketing levels of anxiety and depression on both sides, men and women. The sexual liberation ideology resulted in fatherless children, motherless children, and in a continually fragmenting society. So it's no wonder that, especially in this case, men of Gen Z are returning to the church.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it really resonates also like with my own story. So I was raised as an agnostic. I was very, you know, I was by all means like successful in sort of going through the secular institutions. But just sort of over the time as I was in it, I saw for myself that like this is not offering meaning, right? These values that are supposed to say they're liberating women, as you mentioned. Mm-hmm. Like they weren't actually giving happiness or freedom that was meaningful, right? It was actually leaving a trail of destruction. Same mm-hmm. with men and saying that, no, this is the new way men are supposed to be. But it was doing it in a way that was saying, well, you can't actually be leaders because then you have to be worried that, you know, you're going to be part of the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. You can't show strength because then it means you're dangerous. You know, but actually there is a way of, and the Catholic Church and the Christian tradition shows us that there's a way of having those values in their proper place that actually is strength channeled towards self-sacrifice, strength channeled towards serving others. That is how they're supposed to be positioned. But when you separate them from their natural end good, the basic good they are actually oriented to, you just end up leaving people without meaning. And I think the liberal project sort of is showing itself as being both counterproductive and ultimately empty. And as people are sort of waking up to that, they're saying, okay, well, what's the alternative? The alternative is the thing that has been cast aside in order to get here. And so it's really exciting, actually, I think, when you go into a lot of these churches where it's filled with young people, filled with young men, young women, young families. And there is this incredible joy and excitement over rediscovering these traditions that have been cast aside. They're saying, why was I never told this? Why was this never shared with me? Right? And they're discovering this beauty that has always existed, but that we've ignored. And so I think it's actually a very exciting time to see what's happening in the church right now and seeing the growth and sort of the renewed vigor in it as people rediscover tradition.
And this rediscovery of tradition, it's like you mentioned, right, it's facing the onslaught of being branded as nothing more than an appeal to the patriarchy. But there's a necessity behind it that you highlight as well, that there are proper roles to masculinity that are inherently biological, they're inherent to the masculine genius, and in their fullest flourishing, when they're put to the service of others in the public sphere, they create lasting structures and institutions that generate foundations for the flourishing of ultimately family and then society. So Gen Z is in some subtle way trying to reclaim that.
Yeah, I think that's right, is that human nature is actually something very hard to erase. Mm-hmm. Right? And there's a way in which I think maybe some parts at least of the leftist agenda have been trying to do that. Right? You can say that explicitly in some of the sort of gender ideology, but even if you don't go so far, I'm just saying that there are certain things about our human nature that we should actually look at skeptically or reject, right? And speaking specifically about men, there are certain things about being a man, the sort of natural instincts of a man, that you, any parent, right, is going to see, like, in their child or in most of their children, like, the way they sort of gravitate to certain things, the way their behavior is a little different. But these are not actually things to get rid of. They are things to channel in their proper direction, and the church has done that. And when done so, you actually have a society that is very healthy and well-functioning, just as you have people that are healthy and well-functioning. You don't have the sort of anxiety epidemic that we have seen. You see, say, like, no, I know my place, I know who I am, and I know that my unique skills and my unique personality has something to offer, that God has a purpose and a plan for them.
Right.
And it includes the saying that I am a man or
That's
I am
right.
a woman, and God wants that. God wants me to celebrate that because that offers something unique in the world. That fatherhood is something that's irreplaceable, just as motherhood is.
Mm-hmm.
That a husband is irreplaceable, just as a wife is. That they have their place and their particular value. That varies in relationship to relationship, of course, but that these are essential aspects of essential building blocks for our society.
Right. And when one recognizes those essential building blocks and recognizes within oneself those gifts and capacities, like you mentioned, human nature is very difficult to erase. I remember reading a book some time ago that effectively stated there are few things more bigoted and intolerant than the natural law. But what the author meant by it is that there are certain things inscribed into nature and in human nature that no matter how much we fight in the narrative of modernism, we cannot erase. And young men are realizing that in their desire for stable, lifelong, committed, indissoluble marriages, there's only one place you're going to find young women who share that vision, and that's the church. Let's face it, that kind of a woman, that kind of a man is not going to be frequenting those nightly hangouts where the name of the game is typically single night encounters, so to speak, right? This longing for stability and lifelong purpose and meaning is going to be found in the very institution that preaches it from the get-go.
Yeah, and I would add 2 points to that. One is, similar to what you said, is this understanding of what freedom is.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, we've been fed this idea that freedom is freedom from all constraints. You're free to do whatever you want. But that's not the freedom that we actually want. We know, like, you know, everyone uses the sports analogy, and it's a good one. If you have a game where there are no rules, you have chaos. You don't have freedom. You need to have freedom within the rules so that it is oriented and directed to a certain good, right?
Mm-hmm.
The freedom to do the right thing, as John Paul II would put it. The other thing, and the point about where you would look to find this type of meaningful relationship, I'll get back even to, like, my own story, where when I was agnostic and I was in New York City, I was starting to realize, like, I'm missing something. I'm missing a part of what is meaningful. And so I was like, I should try to, you know, I want to get married. I want to have kids. That's the place to find meaning. But I also sort of understood that if I was going to do that, I probably would need to find, like, a religious or a Christian, a Catholic wife, which posed sort of a dilemma, being a non-believer. I was very fortunate that I was able to find a wonderful Catholic wife, and then through that started going to Mass with her, and then through the intercession of Our Lady, I was able to find my way into the church.
Mm-hmm.
But I think many men are going through the same process of saying, wow, we're missing something. Where do I find fulfillment? Well, I need to find it in marriage and children, but how do I find someone who not only says marriage is important, but says this is the most important thing, that everything else gets sacrificed to it.
Right.
Because a lot of people will say, yeah, marriage is important, it's a good thing, but then it'll take second place to our career.
Yes.
Like, no, that's not right. If you're going to go follow this vocation of marriage, it is the most important thing. And your children are the most important thing, your wife is the most important person. And to where are you going to find that particular value structure? It really is going to be in church. And I think that is, it certainly was a draw for me and sort of how it was part of my journey towards faith.
Yeah.
And I think it's certainly true with what I see elsewhere and just anecdotally, the people I meet, it's like, yes, this good is drawing them into the church And that is an irresistible gravitational force that is great to see working again.
And Darren, I mean, the fact that you're saying this, right, outside of a paradigm that's influenced by the Judeo-Christian narrative, there really is no other reason for seeing marriage as that big a priority, even within the confines of the natural law. The fact is, it's because of the Judeo-Christian revelation that we can understand that there's a primary drive here to the honoring of our vocation in marriage and the family, and that when we do so well, it's ordered towards the eternal salvation of our soul, our brides, our children, and this is what's going to build the common good in society. And reversing that is what's caused all the detriment that we're seeing. In fact, you can blame a lot of overtly career-driven men across the years, across the centuries, I should say, that have given us this warped view of the position of marriage in society.
Yeah, and I think it's true both on with men, right, and women who have been pushed or have wanted to go into work, which is a good thing, right? It's good for them to have careers, but not when it throws off the appropriate balance of priorities.
Right.
And that is what's really we've seen happen. And I think also to the point you make, there, it's not like irrational to believe that that would provide meaning, right? Having been raised agnostic, you know, and raised secular and sort of been reading sort of a lot of the liberal and leftist like arguments, there's a sort of plausibility to it. It's just wrong. And once you sort of realize that actually, once you play out the argument, see how it impacts society, and that's what we're starting to see. It's like the full implications of this argument are playing out in our society, and now we're seeing this rampant anxiety, rampant opioid crisis, breakdowns of families and breakdowns of children's sense of security, their foundation. It's like, okay, well, you tried this idea, and now we're seeing its results, and now we know it's a bad one. And if we just go back and say, okay, the original idea was good. Now, people might not have been living it perfectly. We're all sinners, right? And we've all failed in living it to its ideal ideal form. But we need to go back to it and try to rediscover it and fall in love with it again, because that actually is the truest path to all these goods that most people agree upon, right? The goods of family and security, the goods of a rich, meaningful life.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're seeing that, and that's it, and that's a good thing.
Well, Darren, I want to say thank you for making the time to speak with us.
Thank you so much for having me on.
My guest, Darren Geis, visiting lecturer at Princeton University, practicing attorney, and we've been talking about Generation Z, the men of Generation Z, seeking stability, marriage, and the family, and they're doing so in the church. Thank you for joining us on Ave Maria in the afternoon. Until next time, I'm Marcus Peter.